Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us. Coming out of a big, big weekend, Indiana football gets a win. It wasn't pretty at times, but they get the victory. They're 4-1 on the season, which is a really good mark headed into a tough, tough game against Ohio State coming up. So we'll talk some about that, but no question, IU football overshadowed over the weekend by Hoosier hysteria, lots of excitement leading up to the event, lots of fans in attendance, some really neat things I felt like were showcased, a really great fan experience over the weekend on Saturday afternoon. I thought big, big improvements to the Hoosier Hysteria event. One of those improvements was simply the length of time and how quickly things move from one activity or one speaker to the next. It was obviously a very well-planned out night, so kudos to IU for that. But basketball season is here. I'm going to go ahead and say that because Indiana, even though practices in college basketball officially could start last Tuesday, Archie Miller made it clear in the media day opportunity last week, and he even said it in his speech to the fans on Saturday afternoon, that the Hoosiers would begin practicing officially, transitioning from off-season workouts and those sorts of things to October 1st would be their first full go-around as an official practice. So coming out of Hoosier hysteria, maybe the players have a little extra boost, a little extra excitement after a long summer of preparation and of training to get ready for the 18-19 season. But the IU Hoosiers will be on the court officially practicing today in Bloomington. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Obviously, we'll talk about Hoosier hysteria, reactions to the event, the length, I mentioned that, the court graphics were absolutely great. Romeo's entrance was maybe the highlight of the night, and of course, recruiting. It's really a recruiting and a fan event the way I see it. We'll talk some about the recruiting and some of the recruits that were there. Also today, we'll talk about IU going to be in a secret scrimmage later in the month. They will take on Loyola Chicago. Jeff Goodman broke that over the weekend. Also earlier today, Jawan Morgan and Zach McRoberts were named captains for the 2018-19 IU team. And also talk a little high school football in that first segment. Then segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join us. We'll break down Hoosier hysteria. We'll talk all aspects of the event on Saturday. We'll also get into the IU football victory on the road a little bit as well. And finally, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board Member, he will be with me in the final segment. We'll talk through some high school football results over the weekend. We're entering a good, good time for sports, and we'll have some Southern Indiana headlines as we do each week when Chad is with me on the program. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines for this Monday, October 1st. Hard to believe we're in October. A summary of the day's IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Headline number one, reactions to Hoosier hysteria. Obviously, we know the hype that surrounded this event. We know the crowd that even in a, I don't want to say a down year, but even in a normal year for IU basketball is there. This was a terrific crowd. The lower bowl, the lower level, basically full all the way to the top. There may have been a handful of seats in each of the corners. There were a handful of people on the upper deck as well. So I'm going to go ahead and predict or say that if you had crammed everybody in, you could have fit everyone in the lower level, which I don't know what the number mark on that is as far as attendance goes, but it was a nice showing. I've been to a number of Hoosier Hysteria events. The one with Cody Zeller was obviously maybe the craziest of all time that I've seen. This one, not far behind. Huge crowd, and the crowd was very, very loud, really from the time the event started through the very end. But the length, I mentioned this at the start of the program, some years it's just been amazing. You've got that many fans there in your gymnasium to kick off the season, and in between speakers or in between events that were going to take place, shooting competitions, scrimmages, whatever, there would even be music playing. It would just kind of be, okay, we're sitting and waiting for what's next. This year, not only was the overall event a lot shorter, everything was more concise as well. Everything seemed to really click from one thing to another. The music, the graphics, the smoke, the fireworks, it all seemed to tie together very nicely. This was an event that all fans, all age groups of fans, I should say, could enjoy. The kids get the opportunity to lights out, graphics on the floor, fireworks, autographs afterwards, slam dunk contest as well, and of course the older fan, the opportunity to see a scrimmage and just to be a part of an exciting environment all evening long was a lot of fun. So kudos to IU. I thought it was a greatly produced event, much shorter, but it did seem like the perfect length of time for this sort of event. A-plus to whoever's behind the court graphics. It started when the lights went out. Of course, everybody rose to their feet and some cheers started as the clock counted down to zero. And there was a big fire all of a sudden that started erupting on the floor, graphics at least, of flames taking over the court at Assembly Hall. And that's when it became clear that the graphics show would be a big, big part of the night. Those fire graphics would transition into graphics for each player, as Romeo, as Juwan, as all the players introduced their name across the floor, a couple different photos on each side of them, almost kind of had like a video game effect. The player would come out through a candy stripe path that was projected onto the court, and when they would hit that mid-court IU logo, it was kind of like you had a success in a video game or something. It was kind of that activated, I guess you could say, the next thing. But really good stuff from the creative people at Indiana. I'll be curious to see if the court graphics continue into the seasons of upcoming this winter, or if that's going to be something used for special events like Hoosier Hysteria. The Romeo Langford entrance was probably the most anticipated thing of the evening. They started on the men's side with the freshman class, and of course Romeo was the final of the freshmen to be introduced. There were a couple people sitting around us that said, hey, you know, you've seen Romeo for a long time. Do you think he'll dance? Do you think he'll actually get into it? And I said, no way, no way. He'll come out, he might wave and smile a little bit, but he no chance he dances. And by God, when he came out, I don't know if I'd call it a full dance, but he definitely was excited to be there, did a little shimmy for just a moment, maybe you could call it, and then made his way over with the rest of the team. But that place was so loud in the moments leading up to and during his introduction. It was really unbelievable it got that loud with the number of people there for a preseason type event. A couple people listening or watching, I should say, back at home on the Big Ten streaming said you couldn't even hear, you know, you could hear the announcer, the PA person for all the other player introductions. But once he got to the final freshman, 2018 Indiana Mr. Basketball, you couldn't even hear what he was saying. It was so loud, at least on the television, on the streaming broadcast. So that was obviously a pretty neat time to see Romeo come out for the first time ever in an official IU uniform in front of a great crowd. The scrimmage was obviously one of the more fun parts of the night. Only a 15-minute scrimmage. Obviously, it's hard to get a lot out of something that quick. The teams were split up. There were plenty of substitutions, so everybody would get time out on the floor in the 15 minutes. The one thing that really stood out at the scrimmage was Evan Fitzner. My gosh, he can shoot the ball. He was involved in the shooting contest earlier in the night, and every opportunity where he got an inch to let a shot off, he was almost money every time. Going to be really, really interesting to follow him and see how he clicks and fits in to this Indiana lineup early in the season. But there's no question he was the highlight of the scrimmage. Romeo really didn't get a lot of touches in the scrimmage for whatever reason. Again, it wasn't terribly organized. I didn't see a lot of sets and a lot of movement at times. He had two shots. I think he hit one of two shots in the scrimmage. And so it is what it is for that. But a 15-minute glimpse at the men's team before the event ended. The other highlight of Hoosier Hysteria, recruiting. The way I look at it, it's a fan event number one, and probably 1A, it's a recruiting event to build for the future of the program. Some of the notable names outside of Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, who were there for their official visits. Of course, Armand Franklin, already committed in that 2019 class. He was at the event on Saturday afternoon. Key 2021 prospects from the state of Indiana, Caleb First from up in Fort Wayne and Christian Lander, they were both at Assembly Hall. Bloomington South's Anthony Leal in the 2020 class, he was also in attendance. Other key players from Brownsburg, Pierce Thomas, he's a guard of interest in the 2021 class, so a young player. A lot of these are young guys. Lawrence North forward DJ Hughes, 2021 class. Marion guard Jalen Blackman, 2021 class. Mishawaka Marion guard Jaden Ivey, he's a member of the 2020 class, so a current junior. The local player there, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, he was one of the recruits in attendance. Neat that they had the recruits a section blocked off, not behind the IU bench, not down on row 1, 2, 3. They had a block, and you notice this as the crowd filled in, about maybe a 10-row block right in the middle of the section with a perfect view down to the court. And I thought, well, I wonder if that's where they're going to put the recruits, or I wonder what VIP group they're holding that many seats for. Well, it became clear as some of the recruits, followed by the more notable recruits like Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis, made the stroll up the stairway to take those seats. And then, of course, the court graphics came on. They wanted those recruits to have the perfect view to take in the scenery, some of the graphics, the production value of the event, in addition to the basketball stuff that happened. I did notice that a handful of the recruits, I think Trace and Keon were the first two, once the event got started, once the graphics and the production part of the night were basically open, they made their way down to court level and were sitting basically directly behind Archie Miller, behind IU's bench as well. So obviously a big, big recruiting night. There were some other neat announcements made at Hoosier Hysteria. Victor Oladipo and Cody Zeller coming together to make donations for a player's lounge. They showed some clips of that. Fortnite, the video game that everyone plays on the big screens. Obviously a high-tech lounge for players to get away to be kids maybe, to be college students maybe for a while instead of just basketball players. But that will be something we'll talk more about. But some big facility improvements announced and made available and opened over the past few days related to the IU basketball program. There's no question that there's been a real push to make some improvements with that side of the program, which is so huge for the recruiting. It's so huge for the future of the program. And those were intertwined in some of the videos on the board and some of the announcements that took place during Hoosier Hysteria on Saturday. One of the other big headlines coming out of the weekend, IU, only with one scrimmage before the non-conference schedule starts. That's Southern Indiana, a Division II team. We've talked about how talented they are, what type of season they could be gearing up for in GLVC Division II basketball, which is great, great competition level. One of the things that Indiana did not have was a second exhibition. We probably understand why now. They are going to face Loyola Chicago in what is termed as a NCAA secret scrimmage. It's actually a closed-door scrimmage. Players, coaches, very limited on who is actually allowed to attend the event. And, of course, Loyola Chicago coming off that great run in the NCAA tournament last year. The game will be played on October 28th in Indianapolis. It's going to be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So Archie Miller going to get his team in a place where they will play later this season for the scrimmage, the closed-door scrimmage against Loyola Chicago. Headline number three today, this came out just earlier this morning. Jawan Morgan and Zach McRoberts, they were named co-captains for the 2018-19 season. Not a big surprise, given, of course, Jawan a senior, and given what McRoberts means to the program as far as his work ethic and his leadership ability. Both of those guys last week were announced as the two IU players that would attend Big Ten Media Days coming up later this month in Chicago as well. So no surprise to see them, based on a vote from the team, officially elected as captains for the 18-19 season. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Headlines are presented each day by Hoopsters Sports Grill. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with the Indianapolis Star's Zach Osterman. He's the IU insider for the Star. And when we come back, we're going to break down Hoosier hysteria. We'll get Zach's thoughts on the event itself. We'll talk about the recruiting aspect of it. We'll see if Zach had any takeaways from the very brief scrimmage outside of the great shooting from Evan Fitzner. We'll also talk with him about IU football, who went on the road and was able to get a win over Rutgers before they have a huge challenge this coming weekend taking on Ohio State. Zach Osterman next with all that and more coming up right here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday show, the opportunity to chat with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU basketball, of course, coming out of a big weekend, Hoosier hysteria on Saturday, a couple key official visits for the IU basketball program as well that took place this weekend, and a win on the road for IU football. Zach, first off, your thoughts on Hoosier hysteria. Seemed to be maybe a little shorter in length this year. Definitely some neat effects and features that I had not seen before. And overall, I think people very pleased with the fan experience and I guess the maybe unofficial start to the season that Hoosier hysteria is on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they did do some cool stuff with the court projections and all that. And they raised the WNIT banner from last March, which I think was a really nice touch after obviously the women's team. You know, I think it was kind of hard to, you know, all the, that goes into April and all of a sudden you kind of, nobody's in basketball season mode anymore on campus. So I think it made more sense to do it now. I also think, and look, this maybe it's just reporter being happy that his day isn't wasted. But I think there's something more enjoyable about the event when it does move quickly, when it's paced well, so that you get everything that, you know, Indiana always gives you. You get the dunk contest, the three-point contest, the scrimmage, the men's and women's introductions. We heard from Terry Morin. We heard from Archie Miller. You know, Indiana fans got to cheer Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks and do all those things. But it also, there wasn't a lot of downtime. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, this is still just Hoosier hysteria. And I know that fans get excited for it, but it's not a game. It's not something where they're going to sit there through a five-minute referee review of who touched the ball last before it went out of bounds because they want to see who wins and that sort of thing. It's still something that it feels like needs to be paced well to really keep fans engaged and involved. And I think there's been times in the past where there was a lot of dead air as things got moved around. You know, there was a lot of kind of like not being able to just transition seamlessly from one thing to the next. And I think it makes it more enjoyable when, I don't think it was rushed by any means, but when it is moved at such a pace that it always feels like something's happening and that you're not just kind of sitting there wondering what the next thing is or when it's going to start. It's just boom, 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 and you're just going from one thing to the next. You're keeping energy high. You're keeping fans involved. And you're also not making it last any longer than it needs to because, you know, and I think we're going to talk about this, it's still recruiting weekend for Archie Miller and his staff. You know, they've got important stuff to do beyond the confines of Hoosier hysteria. It's good for everybody if that just, again, it moves quickly, it moves efficiently, you get everything you want in, but you also maybe aren't lagging anywhere.
Zach, I'm sure most people either saw this because they were there in person or maybe, I think IU put out the video and a lot of people were taking pictures and things, but the court graphics, how they did the player introductions, and player introductions have always been one of the fun nights, I'm sure, for the women's team to be in front of that many people, and of course for the men's team. But it gives the player an opportunity to have one of their, I guess, their song played in the background. Maybe they get to do a little dance or jig at half court and really get a reaction from the crowd. Of course, it's always had the spotlight and kind of maybe some smoke and some effects before, but this year, graphics on the court, picture of the player on the far side and the near side of the court, some other details about the player as well, including their name. That was something I hadn't seen. That was next level, to say the least.
It felt a little bit, you know, I don't know how much this applies to any Midnight Madness event. It felt a little bit updated, you know, just a little bit more sort of current, I guess, that, you know, that in terms of the way that you can do these things in 2018 as opposed to 2010, as opposed to 2001, as opposed to 1995 or whatever, you know, that it kind of is as much about the spectacle, the atmosphere, the effects, as it is about, you know, the 15-minute scrimmage that we saw that barely stops and doesn't include a lot of substitutions and is probably pretty bare bones considering Indiana hasn't even started formal practices yet, or they will today. But it just felt a little bit, I guess, updated. A little bit, like I said, a little bit more current. Like, hey, it's 2018. Let's make this look like something that's being held in 2018. Now, will that court projection stuff, will it last the entire year? I don't know. I'm curious to see that, or if it's just something for Hoosier hysteria. But I thought it was a nice touch. I thought the effects were nice. I think they went over well with the crowd. And like I said, it makes it feel a little bit more like something you're watching in college basketball in 2018 rather than maybe, you know, 10 years ago.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Our guest, Zach, is with us Mondays talking IU on the program. I know the scrimmage wasn't much. 15 minutes is all we got. The cream versus the crimson. Some interesting things to watch, though, even just a few minutes. Of course, I guess 5 minutes is good when you've been waiting all year to see IU back out on the Assembly Hall court. Any takeaways from that brief scrimmage, things that stood out to you that I guess really probably couldn't even come close to any conclusions? You need to see full games and maybe multiple games before you can really judge the progress of players in the offseason. But anything kind of maybe get you wondering about, hey, I need to see that in a full game scenario, or this looked good, or what stood out to you, Zach?
I think there were a couple things. First of all, Evan Fitzner, you know, we've heard a lot about just how good he can be. He can be point line, how much he can bring to ending. I think Ed Schilling is, or I think some people have said things about like drills he's done with Ed Schilling where he's looked really impressive. I think he maybe got a little bit overlooked last year. You know, he was on his official visit in Bloomington when Romeo Langford committed. So, you know, he probably got a little bit sort of drowned by the Romeo hysteria. And you understand why to a degree and all that. But I think it's easy to forget that there is this fifth year, 6'10", you know, sharp shooting forward who I think never shot below 41% from behind the arc in his career, who's coming into a team that shot the lowest three-point percentage in Indiana in single-season Indiana history last year. So it was good to see him so comfortable in the offense, and you can just see kind of, when I say he's a shooter, you know, I think I had him unofficially at 3-for-5 from behind the three-point line, but it's not just that. It's the way that he finds space. It's how he knows how to catch a ball, you know, how to catch it, so that it goes right into his shooting rhythm. There's no wasted motion. You just got the sense that he's going to be a guy that's going to be able to fill, at very least, a really important perimeter role for Indiana this season. The other one that actually jumped out to me was with Al Durham. And I'm still not totally sure whether Al Durham long-term is a one guard or a two guard or maybe a combination of both. But we've talked so much about the point guard battle between Rob Phinisee, the freshman, and Devontae Green, the junior. And I think that, you know, they both played well in my eyes in the 15 minutes that we saw Saturday. But I had Al Durham with 4 assists, and he looked really good in the pick and roll. He had, in particular, it seemed like a really good relationship with Jake Forrester, the freshman from Pennsylvania. But he looked really, really comfortable in pick and rolls and high ball screen situations. And I was kind of reminded a little bit of the Al Durham last season that looked small, you know, physically probably not strong enough for college basketball yet in the ways that he needed to be, inconsistent. But he'd have these flashes where you just think, you know, man, I his shot looks a little funny and I'm not convinced by his size or whatever, but he just looks like he's got great feel for basketball. Like, he looks like the guy that, and this sounds simplistic, but the guy that you pick first in any playground game because you just know that he gets that his feel for the game is top notch. And I could see him maybe, I don't know if he's a pure point again, but I could see him maybe, you know, finding his way to some minutes here and there. If he can be that good in high pick and roll and high ball screen stuff, then I think Indiana is going to have a use for him, because this is a team right now of forwards. I mean, it's Romeo Langford, certainly, but beyond Romeo Langford, it's Justin Smith, it's Juwan Morgan, it's Deron Davis when he's healthy, it's Jerome Hunter. This is a team of forwards, and it's a team that's going to go as far as basically Romeo Langford plus a whole bunch of really versatile different kinds of wings and forwards can take it. And if you can be that good with the ball in your hands creating for those guys, you're going to find minutes.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. We're talking about some takeaways, some Hoosier hysteria over the weekend. Of course, now that that's in the books, IU will officially begin its college basketball full practices today on October 1st. Zach, we talked some about the fan experience. We talked a little bit about the scrimmage. We can't leave out the recruiting aspect of the day. As I found my seat, and I was kind of just taking in the environment as the clock unwound to the start of the event. I noticed a lot of things on top of both backboards, and I thought, I wonder if those are lights or fireworks. Of course, they ended up being some fireworks that shot up high in Assembly Hall, but just kind of getting the environment. One of the things that I noticed was a big square. I don't know how many seats it included, but it was being closely monitored by IU workers, IU security people, and there were a ton of empty seats, even though the lower level was basically full. I thought, wonder what group's coming in, wonder what important people were coming in. And then it dawned on me, I don't see any of the recruits here. Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks are both on official visits. We knew that there would be a lot of other younger players in attendance as well that the IU staff always uses. Hoosier Hysteria is an opportunity to kind of showcase the program and the fan environment as well. I thought maybe that's where the recruits are going to sit. And then when we saw all the court graphics, it made plenty of sense why the coaching staff, I'm sure, arranged for that. That's where they would be at a great level to really take in the graphics, take in the fireworks, take in the fan experience. And as the players walking up through the crowd, basically, to their seats, once everyone else was seated, got quite an ovation, especially when the fans recognized Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, some of those key guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key probably is getting them in that elevated space where they can see what's going on the court. I think that's a good point, because in the past, we've typically seen them behind the benches. You know, that's where it seems like either behind the benches or along the baseline seems to be where Indiana, both under Tom Crean and then thinking back to last season with Archie Miller, where Indiana put those guys. I think we even saw later in the event, Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis did kind of come down courtside and sort of make their way behind the bench a little bit, I think, for the scrimmage. But it makes a lot of sense to have them further up. And if you're up there, you know, obviously, as you said, you can kind of control maybe access to them a little bit more. You could probably also give them a little bit more room so that if they want to bring, you know, not their parents, but not just their parents, but their siblings or anything like that, you can let them spread out a little bit more, I guess, if that makes sense. But I think you're probably right that one of the biggest things is you want them up there, because at the court side, they can't really see all of these special effects that you're trying to sort of put out and really kind of take Hoosier Hysteria to a different level in terms of the experience. And, you know, from their perspective, you're obviously trying to sort of tell them, this is, you know, don't you want your face to be on the floor of Assembly Hall at Hoosier Hysteria this time next season? So it was a surprising move for me, too, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, is with us. One more recruiting thing, and then I've got one other basketball thing before we talk football quickly. I saw pictures of Keon Brooks' father, tweeted out a photo of Keon Jr. with Romeo Langford. I don't know if they were in the dorm or somewhere in the locker room, but they were eating together. It looked like talking as well. And he said thanks to Romeo for hosting Keon. Then I saw a picture of Armon Franklin and Trace Jackson Davis. So obviously a lot of recruiting going on this weekend. And it wasn't just the coaches recruiting the players and the parents and that sort of thing. A lot of times those players, especially a notable name like Romeo Langford, even though he may not be there next year to play with Trace or Keon if they were to come to Indiana, he appears to be a very key person in this recruiting.
Well, I think he's got to be, and I think it's kind of twofold. Number one, you know, I think the other player mentioned, I know what tweet you're talking about, the other player mentioned in the tweet was Rob Tennessee. Number one, you want young guys recruiting your recruits because, you know, Juwan Morgan can talk to Keon Brooks about how his game's developed. You can play with him a little bit and all that. But at the end of the day, Keon Brooks isn't going to play with Juwan Morgan. You know, unless something disastrous happens, this is Juwan Morgan's last season in college. So it's a lot more effective if you're putting Keon Brooks or Trace Jackson Davis or anybody, frankly, with Rob Tennessee, Jerome Hunter, you know, maybe Al Durham, Justin Smith, guys who you can reasonably say, hey, if you come to Indiana, you're going to be playing with me. Here's why I think our games fit. Here's why I think you'd be great here. Here's why I want you to be my teammate down the road. That's number one. Number two, I think we've talked about this in different ways, even going back to sort of Romeo pre-commitment. When you're recruiting elite guys, when you're recruiting McDonald's All-Americans, Jordan Brand All-Americans, Mr. Basketball candidates, things like that, typically you're recruiting guys who have a legitimate ambition to play professionally. And so if you're Archie Miller, you also want Romeo Langford there, even if in the back of your mind, you know there's a chance Romeo Langford's gone after this season, headed for the NBA because he's that good, he's one and done. You want Romeo Langford there to be talking about, well, here are the reasons why I think coming to Indiana was the best thing for my career. Here are the ways that Indiana's gotten me better. And you know, you've got NBA dreams. Well, I do too, and I chose Indiana, and here are the reasons why. It just gives recruits a little bit more to think about in terms of maybe those, especially those elite guys that are probably going to have sooner rather than later a legitimate sort of chance at going pro. Maybe it's 1 year in college, maybe it's 2 years in college, but at some point they're going to have a chance to turn pro maybe before they finish all 4 years of college basketball. You want somebody like Romeo there talking to them about why it was that Romeo Langford, who is obviously such a talented prospect, has so much professional appeal, decided that it was Indiana rather than Kansas or UCLA or Vanderbilt or Duke or Kentucky or wherever. It was Indiana that he decided was the best place for him to continue his career as he kind of worked toward that NBA goal. So both of those kind of make sense. The guys you want Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis to envision themselves playing with next season, and then the guys that maybe can talk to him a little bit more about why Indiana is the right place for him from a potentially professional standpoint.
Absolutely. Zach, one other basketball topic. Jeff Goodman tweeting out over the weekend that Indiana will scrimmage or play Loyola Chicago in what's termed as a secret scrimmage. It'll take place October 28th in Indianapolis at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Tell us a little bit more about NCAA secret scrimmages and how this came about.
I always enjoy secret scrimmage season. It's one of my favorite seasons. It's not surprising. It's something you see happen a lot of times. The way it always has worked around here anyway is it seems like the signal is basically if there's one exhibition, then they'll play a secret scrimmage. If there's two exhibitions, then they won't. You can also call it a closed-door scrimmage. Basically, it's like an exhibition game, but the advantage of it is that you can control a lot more of the elements. So it's not just going to be 40-minute, 220-minute halves, you know, simulated TV timeouts and all those sorts of things. You can, within the structure of the scrimmage, say, okay, well, now we've agreed that we're going to work on last 8 minute situations, or now we've agreed that we're going to work on last 4 minute situations. You know, we're going to work on, how to end a half, how to start a half, that all those sorts of things. And you still can keep score. You still can keep stats, and obviously coaches are always going to do that stuff because they're always going to want to be able to go back not just to film but to numbers and analyze different things. But it's something more like a marriage between an exhibition game and a practice, and basically a way for two different programs to come together so that you're not just practicing against your own guys. A little bit like you see these around the NFL preseason scrimmages, you know, when you know Baltimore goes and visits Houston or something like that, and they scrimmage one another for a couple of days during preseason camp. It's the same idea. And it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if coaches would say to you maybe candidly that it's actually a little bit more useful in some ways than an exhibition game. I think there's obviously going to be some real value to an exhibition game because you're playing in front of your fans, you're playing in an actual arena, it's an actual game setting. But what allows you with the closed-door scrimmages is to really be able to hone in and work on specific things you think your team needs. So it's always going to be a little bit of give and take. It's interesting to me that it's in Indianapolis. You know, the only thing that jumps off, I remember when Tom Crean would do these, it always felt like he tried to do them in like a pro arena where he knew his team would be playing later in the year. And obviously this team's going to be playing at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, but this team's also going to be playing at the United Center in Chicago. And if I'm not mistaken, there's not a guy on this roster that's played in the Big Ten tournament at the United Center, because the oldest guys on the roster are Zach McRoberts, who didn't join Indiana until he was a redshirt sophomore, and Juwan Morgan, who was a freshman the year they won the Big Ten and then lost to Michigan in the first round of the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. So it's a little bit, maybe it just couldn't work. I don't know, maybe they tried the United Center. But it's interesting to me that it's in Indianapolis. I would have thought they maybe at least would have aimed to get it at the United Center in Chicago. Maybe that just wasn't doable.
Yeah, interesting there. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. Lots of good insight from Zach on all the happenings basketball-wise this past weekend and more. I do want to ask you before we close, the IU football team goes on the road. They get a win at Rutgers. And your thoughts on that? I know you were at Hoosier Hysteria. I saw you there on Saturday. But your thoughts on the IU football win and where that sets them up at this point of the season?
Yeah, what a great game. You know, if anyway, I think there are probably some ways in which it was actually more disheartening for fans than the Michigan State game. It was kind of a weird one. You expected them to come out and run the ball and really establish the run against a very bad Rutgers rush defense. Instead, they really leaned on the pass game in the first half. Peyton Ramsey had a great first half, 230 total yards, couple scores. They were up 24-7. They looked like they were in control. And then it seemed like they were just a little bit too content, maybe, or too intent might be the better word, on kind of taking the air out of the game in the second half, ran the ball a little bit more than they had, or a lot more than they had in the first half, but without a ton of success, couldn't really get the pass game geared back up, let Rutgers back in it, still managed, obviously, to close out the game with a win, and in a different way, maybe reminiscent of a couple years ago when Indiana went to Rutgers and did to Rutgers what so many, you know, top-shelf Big Ten teams do when they come to Bloomington, to Indiana, which is go, look good for a while, not play well in spurts, make some mistakes, leave the door open to let Rutgers maybe win the game, but then sort of like pull the rug out from under them at the very end. Again, not unlike what we've seen the Michigans and Penn States and Iowas do to Indiana in Bloomington in the last few years. So I would say it wasn't the best performance by any means. That said, I think if you'd offered any reasonable IU fan 4-1 at the end of September, they would have taken it without hesitation. So you go perfect in the non-conference. You play Michigan State, a disappointing game, a frustrating game in some respects. Actually, having watched it a second time, I'm not sure it's as bad of a performance as probably some people made it out to be in real time. Then you go to Rutgers and play some uninspired second-half football that clearly upset Tom Allen. But you still get the win. Now you only need two more for bowl eligibility. Again, if I'd offered any reasonable IU fan that in, you know, on August 15th, I have to believe the vast majority of them would have taken it.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Always great to start the week off with Zach. Zach, keep up the great work, and we'll talk with you again next Monday.
Thanks for having me, as always.
And I probably should plug, you can read Zach's work at indystar.com/sports. He's the IU beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. We'll talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment on this Monday edition of the program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board Member with me today and every Monday as we talk through the latest in Southern Indiana sports. Chad, what's going on, man? Fall sports beginning, I don't want to say to wind down, but to at least get to this tournament part of the season. Football, I can't believe where we're at. Headed into week 8, the sectional drawing coming up next Sunday night. I think volleyball pairings came out last night. Other tournaments either started or are getting ready to start. What's going on in the world of high school sports locally?
It's time to wrap it up here. This weather's crazy, Matt. We've had lots of rain. Now we've got lots of heat. We had a cool weekend. My allergies are off the chart. Sinus infections blowing up here. Fall break around the corner. It's a crazy time in the world of athletics. But all of that being said, it's the time of year that everyone plays for, the tournament. Volleyball, there's going to be interesting volleyball at Brownstown in our sectional, where it could be a possible showdown with Brownstown and Silver Creek. Soccer this week, everyone gets underway this week going for the pairings. Our boys play a well-balanced sectional at Scottsburg. Our girls are at Madison. And then you kind of go with week 8 in football. Hard to believe that it's been this quick. The season's gone by super fast. Teams are ready, and they're hoping they have everybody healthy going into sectional in a couple weeks.
Speaking of healthy, when you talk about headlining the high school football season, it's been one of your Charlestown players, Marion Lukes. He's put up some unbelievable numbers, has just really been turning some heads, and he's a youngster. He's still got a number of years ahead of him. He was injured right before halftime in your Pirates game on week 7. Any update, any word on what's going on with him? He's just had a terrific year. We're hoping he can finish it out.
Matt, Marion's initial prognosis was sprained AC ligament in his shoulder. He will be evaluated and see what he looks like this week. You know, wouldn't be surprised if he sets out, wouldn't be surprised if he plays. That kid's a hard-nosed kid and a competitor. But he has had an outstanding year. You know, his thing, you know, he's liable to see somebody you watch on TV on Saturdays here in a couple of years. He has a great body. You know, he's close to 6 foot tall, got a great frame to pack on some weight. I think he's about 190, 195. So if he can get up in that 205, 210 range, he's going to be all right. And he's got a great 40 time, you know. But what makes him special, you take all that with his straight line speed and everything else, is he has the ability to make people miss. The things that he's doing now, you think, you know, he's in the Mid-Southern Conference. I don't care if it's the Mid-Southern or the Patoka Lake or the Hoosier Hills. MIC, for instance, if he's got a line, you know, that is equivalent to what he's going against, Marion's going to make plays based on his speed and his ability to maneuver. So he's somebody, you know, you may see at a slot at the next level. You may see, you know, a DB or something, but he has the tools and what college coaches are looking for to play on Saturdays. I think he'll have a tremendous offseason working on his body, working on his strength, continues to work on his speed. But he's going to draw some recruiters here to Charlestown the next couple years. A good kid who's worked extremely hard, and we hope he has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Pulling for him because he's had just a terrific season. Let's hope he can finish it out and help Charlestown, especially when you get into postseason play. Chad Gilbert's my guest. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown. He's also the local IHSA executive board member and has a real love for sports here in the area. That said, Chad, you and I were kind of going back and forth this morning on, hey, here's a couple topics, what should we talk about, what might be interesting today. And it's so interesting. So many people still refer to these early season, these preseason, whatever you want to call them, events as Midnight Madness, because that's what they were, and that's what it was at Indiana for so many years. The events have kind of taken on a new look. Most of them are in the evening or maybe the afternoon. Now they seem to be getting earlier and earlier. Heck, Indiana having their event Saturday, still in the calendar month of September, and they hadn't even had their first official practice just yet. But so much has changed with all that. Teams now, and you and I have talked about the new high school rules where basketball teams, all sports can start practicing the final week of August. And, of course, college is the same. They get a number of hours to work out, both on the court and with the strength and conditioning coaches a week. And so things change, but miss the old Midnight Madness. That was always an experience.
No, absolutely it was. It was kind of cool. Did you see Coach Mack on 4th Street Live? He had the court set up. Kids came out, did their thing out there, and Coach Mack shows up with the old school throwback Louisville starter jacket, the satin silk, something that Matt Dennison might wear as a fifth grader.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But I thought he looked pretty cool trying to get some excitement out there, and that's what this whole thing's about, is trying to create some excitement with your program, letting people know it's right around the corner. And then you see Bloomington up there. I thought their floor looked outstanding. If you get a chance to YouTube their Midnight Madness and see how their floor had the graphics, kind of like Purdue has. The Cleveland Cavaliers have it as well. But I thought it was cool to see Romeo come out there. You know, Romeo had some smiles going, which is something that's always good to see. That means he's having a good time. Showed his arm off, fired a couple of shirts in the crowd, and then followed it up with a couple of dance moves right out of the chute. So it was good to see Romeo coming out of his shell a little bit, having fun. But he topped it off with a gymnastics move as he did a cartwheel and went on to win the dunk contest for the Indiana Midnight Madness. So a lot of fun, and that's what it is. It's fun for the kids, because they're getting ready to hit a grind, as we know, Matt. It becomes business from this point on. And then fun for the fans to get that excitement, but a great time to have recruits in. So, you know, you can look for these more and more coming in the next couple of weeks. I saw at Kentucky people were camped out just to get a shot, to get a ticket to attend Midnight Madness. So it's nuts. It's fun. But it's something, again, it's more for the fans, more fun time for the kids, get things going, and more for the recruits to get people to come to your place. So it means things are right around the corner, and it's going to be a fun time for basketball here shortly.
Chad, we've talked a lot about the court graphics that IU featured in their opening, I guess, introductions, I should say, on Saturday. You mentioned Purdue had it. I was curious. I'm sure IU's not the first or the only to utilize that technology, and you also mentioned Cleveland Browns, but let's not forget one of your local cohorts, athletic director Jeff Sequeira at Floyd Central. He's had some graphic displays on the floor at the Highlanders Gymnasium that I saw this past season.
Sequeira's ahead of the game on that stuff. He's always thinking for the next thing. He works it hard, and he has a cool setup. It's nothing like IU or Purdue. However, it is really cool. And what's good about it, he uses it for all sports. He uses it for volleyball, girls basketball, both teams in the sectional. He gets wrestling. He gets his money out of that. So that's a good thing. Now, checking into that, you got to get your money out because it's pretty expensive. But I think it really sets your programs apart. It sets your venue apart. And, again, like anything else, it creates excitement for the kids. And that's what the whole thing's about. You want a kid who's playing a sport at your school to have memories that are going to last. And let me take that back. Positive memories. They're going to last his whole life. So that way when he has a son or a daughter, or she has a son or a daughter, they encourage them to play sports and have those same memories, again, positive memories that they had. So, you know, that's what it's about. So hats off to Jeff up at Floyd Central for getting that one done. But the thing that Indiana and Purdue have, and like the Cavaliers have, I mean, it's cool. It just looks like the court's crumbling on you. You know, you can put a guy's face right on the court. You can have it doing whatever. Purdue has a train coming through there. So if you get a chance, you know, to YouTube some of those things, they're pretty cool. And it's something, again, that creates positive memories for our student-athletes.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Only a couple minutes left, but, Chad, you've been through this deal. You mentioned the grind that college basketball players, and really it's a grind year-round now. I know rules are different, but you mentioned the grind they're getting ready to go through with these early season practices. Indiana doesn't have any sort of competition until a closed-door scrimmage on October 28th. How difficult, how not fun at times will some of these practices be early in the year with the level and the pace and the temperament that they will be taught and instructed in here over the next month or so?
Well, early in the year, it's pretty good because you're competing. You're trying to get a spot. You're trying to solidify your spot in the rotation. So to get in that rotation, you've got to compete. Every day is a one-day contract. So you're going out there and you're putting your best foot forward, and you're trying to show that coach why you should be playing. Because, you know, every coach, they've got an idea who should be playing. So you've got to figure out, one, how to hold on to your spot, or two, how to get someone else's spot. So the start of the year is extremely competitive. The other thing that happens at the start of the year, and I don't know what that is, you know, I don't know why this happens more at the start than it does in the year. I guess because everyone is going so hard. You often have lots of banged up injuries, whether it's a rolled ankle, a tweaked knee, a bumped head, a concussion. And I guess because you're going so hard, as the season goes on, you tend to taper back a little bit. You're going hard practice, but instead of a 2-hour just go at it, you're tapering your segments where you have maybe a 15-minute segment where you're really going at it. So not quite as many injuries once the season goes on. But for this time of the year, I mean, you're going at it because you're competing against your teammates for an opportunity to represent your team. And that's what you're going to college. You know, you're going up there to get an education. But as a player yourself, you want to play. You want to be in that rotation. You want your name announced in that starting lineup. So it's a good time of year for coaches, a good time of year for players to go out there and compete. So it goes by pretty quick. The grind occurs, you know, once that conference schedule gets going on, and that's something we'll talk about in the future, you know, is how the difference between playing a home game and an away game, just the different things and why it's so much easier to play at home than it is on the road. That's when it really comes into effect. So that's something we'll talk about in the future as the season progresses.
Chad, we got to get out of here. Thanks for being with us. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. Don't forget, we do this each week, each weekday at 11 a.m. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison right here on the Big X Sports Radio.